This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, head over to bigheadsmedia.com. Hi there, folks, and welcome to Podcast, The Origins. It's a podcast series where we watch the Gundam The Origin OVA series and talk about it at length. I'm your host, Swanson. With me, as always, is my co-host and suspicious pilot in a red mobile suit, Snaremaster.
Finally, I get the recognition I deserve. Or do I?
I guess we'll never know.
Until next week.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Hard to say if you get the recognition you deserve or not. And with us, as always, of course, is delinquent who wants to go see what all those scientists are up to, Kioran.
Listen, you gotta take things into your own hands by doing what I say instead of what your parents say.
Perhaps I could be your dad.
Uh-oh.
You see, Amuro, I too could be your daddy.
I'm sure there's some unofficial fan publications that explore that concept.
Hmm.
I don't like that.
Alright, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be on record and say I do like that.
Kia fears a homosexual agenda.
It's true, they are sort of coming in here and taking all of our perfectly normal friendships between two men.
Yeah. Why do all these guys keep sucking me off? It's annoying.
Yeah. There's definitely a friendship there between Amuro and that guy who I don't know the name of.
Kai.
Dragon Ball Z Kai, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the kind of friendship where one friend is just mean to the other friend and gets the other friend almost killed.
Like Ed and Eddie.
Yeah, they have a real Roger and Doug funny relationship.
Hong Kong.
Or not Roger. Wait, yeah, Roger's right. That's Skeeter.
No, Amuro is nothing like Doug, since he actually does have sex.
Yeah, but it's not till much later. Doug never ages, like unlike 10. Amuro.
Yes. Look, all I'm saying is, Doug is kind of an incel with it, though.
He's 10.
he's got incel energy, Kioran, alright? You don't grow out of that.
He's kind of a beta orbiter.
Yeah.
Who's he orbiting?
Patty Walnuts.
If there was a Patty, Patty Walnuts, Polly's daughter.
That's a secret of Doug.
Hey, this fucking guy Doug's coming around my kid. Hey, Doug, why don't you take your little funny dick and you go home, huh?
I mean, looking at his mannerisms, I think he might just be a little queer.
He's hanging around with his fucking dog.
What's the matter with this kid? He looks bald. His hair kind of merges into his skin. Where does the hair begin?
Why can't you hang out with someone nice like Roger?
Christopher's like, I swear, I saw the dog wearing a cape and flying around.
What are you, high? What are you, high again, Chrissy?
Okay, I did a little heroin, but it was just to help me get to sleep.
So yes, welcome to our Gundam podcast.
You know, I thought to myself I would stop talking about The Sopranos.
Well, it's only going to get worse when I eventually rewatch it in a few weeks, probably.
Please don't. I'm at my limit here,
don't
folks.
Stop believing.
I shouldn't have encouraged you guys by doing that bit on the TV Tuners podcast.
In a way, the ending to this week's film is a lot like The Sopranos. Oh.
A little bit.
You'll know what happens. You can take some educated guesses. Anyway.
I think Char dies.
I mean...
Yeah, maybe. Someone walked right in there and killed him.
Oh, no.
I think one way or another, Char dies eventually.
We'll see.
Of old age as a decorated revenge getting leader.
And then they'll clone him at least twice.
Wow.
Wow, he really is the Darth Vader of the Gundam franchise.
And all of his clones are named like Char with an extra A.
Wow. Yeah, they're real original.
What if, is there like one called Charm?
Yes.
At least Char had the decency to change his name to something other than Char.
50 times.
Yeah. Wait, so is full frontal not a Char clone?
Yeah, he is. I was making fun of the Star Wars EU, where there's a clone of Luke named Luke.
Yeah. All right, so we did watch some Gundam this week, and we're going to talk about it. We watched episode, or I guess number 5 of the films.
This is titled, a film. It's Clash. 90 minutes.
It's true. It's a full feature-length film, unlike the other ones. We can argue later in the pod about whether or not it needed to be that long. Anyway, this one is titled Clash at Loom. And I guess there is some clashing.
Did this film leave you scattered all over North America, the Pacific Ocean, and Southern Australia?
Yeah, in a way, I guess. we start off with another long recap.
The longest. This one's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah. It does have a fun little intro, though, where like the narrator is like, "Why do people fight?" Throughout all of technological advances, no one ever stopped and thought, is war good?
What if they had a war but nobody showed up? And then the Gundam Wing theme starts playing.
It's a whole recap. Yeah, even things that aren't applicable to what happens,
like Dozo wrestling the gun out of Zena's hand.
Yeah, like we didn't really need to be reminded of that creepy subplot for when they continue that.
It looks like she aged a decade when she shows up in this film.
Yeah, and it's only been what, like two, like a year? Not even? Two,
maybe three.
Yeah. I guess war will age you even if you're not part of it. So we start right at the opening here. Lots of robo destruction.
Yes. The Earth Federation's getting their asses kicked. The moon is lost.
Yeah, they're taking over Side 2.
Yes,
which is vehemently anti-Zeon.
Yes.
And, they destroy a large portion of this and then take...
They destroy, like, every colony except for the capital one.
Yeah, they
and
keep...
And when we talk about destroying colonies, we mean just places where people are just living at.
Yes, the... Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about just mass genocide,
like,
right?
Like, 100 million what we're talking people about. Literally are said to be killed during this sequence.
So, probably like the deadliest war ever.
It's about to be.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I think the The war, the Chinese Civil War in the 1800s. That one. The Heavenly Kingdom uprising killed more people than World War II.
I mean, but by the end of this.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, yeah. We'll get into that in a few seconds.
Although, I guess, if we're following current trends of populations, there's probably, like, a lot of people spread out throughout space and Earth, so.
Presumably.
They're just so nonchalant with just committing some war crimes, just right off the bat here.
Well, Rampa does have his conscience.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And not enough to actually stop anything from happening, but enough for him to walk out of the room.
Yeah, we get this cool sequence of him, like, this fucking up shit. And then at Side 2. And then having a meeting with Dozel, where he's very grumpy about the...
Well, yeah, he watches how easy it is to take Side 2, and he says, "This is a slaughter." Which, very, very good conscience there. He has this meeting with Dozel where Dozel explains his new their new plan. He says it's a brilliant plan from Garen, which is not the adjective I would use to describe what this is.
Well, if it worked, everyone would have said it was brilliant.
I guess it's true,
And it probably would have killed less people.
Very true, yeah. Actually, the way his plan ends up working kills way more people, which he probably is fine with.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even need to say he's probably fine with. He literally is fine with it when we see him. But
he's,
in this,
he's just like, you know, we didn't get what we wanted, but we got something good enough.
Yeah. So he has this, Rampa has this scene with Dozel where he's like, this what you're talking about is literal murder of millions. And he's like, don't say it out loud like that. It makes us look bad.
Come on, man. I thought you were my guy. I got you the mobile suit.
Yeah. And Rampa's like, I'm not going to participate in this anymore. He leaves and Dozel slams his fist through like the control console.
Yeah. And electrocutes himself. But yeah. Continues yelling at Ramble. While this is happening,
yeah, he says, "This is the work of devils. This is evil." And he's like, "No, it's not. Try it.
Why don't you try it and see?"
Yeah, and then we get to my favorite part of the movie: the road roller mobile workers.
Oh yeah,
toys of these guys.
So, Kai Sheridan shows up. He is from the original series, right?
Yeah, he's the guy that Sayla slaps for being a coward.
Oh, okay, the guy who looks like a piece of shit.
Yes.
And apparently, according to this, is.
Yeah.
Haharo, he shows up at Amuro's door and is like, hey, come out here, we're going to your dad's place!
The one he
and
doesn't
Haro
want you to
gives
know
some
about.
Great advice by saying, don't go with them, don't go with them.
Yes.
And he's like, shut up, Haro, I don't listen to you!
Haro, you're not my dad, who doesn't pay attention to me either! You're smothering me.
So like R2-D2, all the problems in this franchise could be solved if they just listened to Haro.
Yeah, very true. So does Haro ever get his own like droids like spinoff?
He's the co-pilot in Victory Gundam, which takes place like 80 years after this.
So it took that long for them to be like, we could have these things co-pilot.
Yeah,
they're still hanging out doing wars 80 years from now. That's
yeah, that's sad.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so sad? Okay.
Keo, I'm going to tell you a little sad thing about if you traveled 80 years into the future.
Well, you'd find a lot of skeletons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there'd also be a lot of wars, probably.
Between the skeletons.
Yeah.
Why would the skeletons fight each other? Wouldn't they be team-up guys on against the people walking around
still? I got
still?
Bad news about the people walking around.
Oh.
Uh-oh. So, yeah, Kai is like, be your own man, Amuro. Come with us and listen to me.
And that's what being your own man is. It was kind of like when we got Stairmaster on the podcast. We said, come on, Stair, be a real man. Be your own man. Do your own thing and do our podcast.
Ironically, I was in a bulldozer when they said this to me, and I got out of it.
It's true, yeah.
As opposed to Amuro, who got into a bulldozer with his peer pressurers.
And he's, like, uncomfortable the entire time just hanging out with them.
Yeah. I would be, too, if we were going on Killdozer-esque adventures.
Yeah. So they get to where the thing is, and it's, like, this steep drop that they have to go down. And Kai is just like, give me the controls. I'll handle this. And almost kills them all.
Yeah.
Literally, when the guns start coming out and they start firing at the Killdozer...
Oh, yeah. How did they survive this? Like, that construction vehicle's...
They must have been specifically aiming for not the people in the...
Yeah, I think these were all very much warning shots.
Yeah.
But if you're the Federation security guy, and you see that boulders are coming at the gates, aren't you just going to assume that's enemy action?
Yeah, but it stopped the moment they started firing at it, so I imagine they weren't going to fire at anybody if they...
They also probably wanted to, like, I don't know, interrogate the people in there, yeah. If they were enemy combatants.
So they all jump out, and the guard comes up. The guards come up and start beating the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just curb stomping some, like, Kai's getting, like, curb stomped, and then one of them, like, yeah, they see all their IDs.
They're like, oh, they're just kids, let's smack them around a bit now.
Yeah. And then one of them is like, oh, wait, are you Tem Ray's son? Why didn't you say so earlier? Come with us. Get out of here. We can't beat you up.
Oh, yeah. Daily reminder, the Federation was not welcomed to Side 7 by the populace. They just kind of showed up on their own.
Yeah, that sounds
great. And are now just beating children.
Yeah, and Amuro, I was expecting a scene where Tem gets mad, but that would be out of character for Tem.
I don't think he doesn't give a shit. One.
No, he's not in it at all, I don't think, is
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Amuro stays a little bit and hears them get the crap beat out of them and then just says, and leaves.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I mean, yeah, literally, what are you going to do? And then the next day, the teacher is, like, overcome with grief that these delinquents would do this. And Amuro is
well,
just,
like, she's trying to keep it vague who the delinquents are. But they're all in the class.
That's not possible they're all in the class and they're all, like, completely, like, casted and bandaged up. It's clearly them.
Yeah, and Amuro is, like, not interested. He's busy looking out the window.
He's thinking about that sweet, sweet Gundam.
What is
well,
it?
Oh, yeah. Aren't we all? And Kai is just giving this guy the death glare. And that's all we get of Amuro in this.
Well, it's like Star Wars. You have a fun, you know, happy-go-lucky first act. Sort of like rescuing Han from Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi.
But it would also be like if Han Solo wasn't in the rest of Return of the Jedi.
Yes. I mean,
like, they rescued him and he's like, bye.
I mean, he really doesn't have any role in that movie.
Well, he had the whole thing is getting together with Leia officially.
Yeah. But he already said, I loved you in Empire Strikes Back. And they can't show them fucking, so what else is there for them?
To officially get together by kissing and having some Ewoks watch them.
Oh.
So we get introduced to some new characters and things go great for them.
Oh, yeah. We cut back to side two.
So there were two possibilities with these characters. Either these are going to be series staples, we're going to come back later with some major roles in the actual series, or they're just going to die. Which one is it? I don't know.
Well, it turns out we find out in roughly 20 minutes of their introduction, less than, I think, because they die pretty brutally.
Yeah. But anyways, they're just handing out guns to random civilians at side two to fight off the imminent Zeon invasion. Now, one of them is this guy, Yuki.
Yeah, who is just he goes through an entire arc of, like, a Gundam series in 10 minutes.
Yeah, youthful optimism followed by cynicism and death.
So he has this love interest of his. They have this really rushed love connection here where she goes to a bunker, I take it?
Yes.
Yeah. And then The people of the Zeon guys, what do? They just lower
just have
the temperature.
Nerve gas. No, they dump poison gas.
Oof.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. They're doing like some like full scale like maximum tier atrocities here.
Yeah, and this is just.
And then if that's not enough, they start bolting thrusters onto the colony so they can deorbit it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the thing. That was one of Dozel's arguments, was that, like, listen, these guys are going to die one way or another. Why not make their deaths mean something?
And also, would be very unpleasant for them to see the Earth coming up towards them.
Yeah, like, Jesus, Dozel. Yuki is outside, quote-unquote, defending the place, and we just get shots of just people keeled over dead.
Yeah, dead dogs.
Yeah.
A woman and her child.
It's brutal.
He's delirious.
Yeah.
He just stumbles down the hill. It's like, oh, I gotta go see Yuki.
And he thinks it's snowing briefly.
Yeah, and it turns out that the gas gathers at the bottom. So he just gets even worse and can't stand. And drops dead at the shelter door.
Where everyone inside is also dead.
Yes. And then
it's brutal.
And then Iolishless starts descending to Earth.
And it gets broken up and destroys and kills half the population of Earth.
Oh yeah, it splits into three pieces. It was supposed to land at the Federation base. But the breakup throws
these guys
off
try
its
to,
trajectory.
They try to shoot it down and they end up making it worse.
Yeah. So, the original, it doesn't hurt the Federation base at all, right?
No, I don't think that's actually affected their war potential at all.
Yeah, which is why Degwin is so pissed off. That and all of the death, I imagine.
Yeah. Japan and China just fucked up by tsunamis. North America's bombarded.
There's two concerns on their part. First of all, they didn't get their target. Second of all, now they're war criminals. They could get in trouble.
Yeah. As Dozel reminds everybody anytime he's doing a speech, he's like, if we lose, we're going to be murdered because we're war criminals.
Well, it's Garen's idea, and Dozel just kind of latches onto it and acts like it's his own to look smart and clever.
It sounds like something he does a lot.
And I think this was Garen's plan all along, was to like burn his boats like, you know, Cortez in the New World.
Yeah, Dozel is too stupid to exist.
Well, he at least is good at war.
It's true. He's a pretty capable commander.
That is not a good thing for a stupid person to have.
True.
Okay.
Yeah. History has shown Kieran, though, the stupid get very rewarded in war.
Temporarily. Oh, yeah. Die.
Also, Southern Australia is just destroyed by the largest piece of the colony.
Yeah, just completely wiped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, how big is this colony? And then they show how big it is compared to the size of a city. And
yeah,
it's,
isn't that like Sydney, since we see the Opera House briefly before it's consumed in flames?
I think they also show parts of Canada being destroyed as well.
Yeah.
Poor Canadians.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like an apocalyptic level event.
They also say that like the west coast of the United States gets like destroyed pretty badly.
Oh, yeah, by tsunamis. Yeah, so does Japan and China.
Also, just debris raining on the entire continent, I think they also said.
Yeah. It's not great. Half the Earth's population is killed. So if it wasn't already, this is like the highest casualty war of all time. Mm-hmm. Do future like Gundam wars get like more ridiculous with the casualties, or is this like...
No, this is like the biggest one.
Yeah, that's makes sense. Like, I mean, I don't know how you get... How you do worse than kill half the population of Earth.
Yeah.
After a certain point, there's not enough people left to kill more of them, so...
Yeah. So do they focus on the Earth at all in future Gundam installments to show, how awful things are?
Yes, but the conflicts in later UC stuff are more small scale. It's not until Victory Gundam you get another space noid invading the Earth. And after War Gundam X, which is an alternate universe, however... The apocalypse does happen when all the space colonies land on Earth.
Oh.
And that's, like, the opening monologue to the series. And the series takes place, like, a decade after that.
That sounds good.
Like a pretty yikesy situation. I wouldn't want to be there.
Also, there is Turna Gundam, which is set in, like, 10,000 years from now. Which implies that mankind did wipe itself out.
Oh. Yeah, sounds
relatable. At least once.
Intensely relatable. Dozel's not having a great time about this. We have this meeting with Daeguin and the rest of the zombies where Garen is like, okay, listen, things didn't go according to plan, but we still killed a bunch of people. And he's like, and now I think it's time that we take Loom.
And all Daeguin's we gotta do like, is win.
I love that Daeguin has some semblance of a conscience here. Or at least, like, a mind for what the... Yeah. I think it's more about...
self-awareness.
Yeah. He's like, haven't you murdered enough people? And
he's like, no, I don't think...
He's like, no, actually, we need to, like, win. And Daeguin's like, yeah, there's probably other ways we could do this. He gets pissed off and leaves, and Garma goes with him. And Garen is just like, huh, our dad's getting a little soft in his old age.
Meanwhile, Kaecilia just glaring daggers into his head.
And Dozel's like having a crisis of conscience.
Yeah, which he does then takes out on his wife, who's like, honey, am I a bad person?
Yeah, Dozel stumbles home and is to like...
His now 30-year-old wife.
And his infant daughter. So we gotta ask ourselves the question here, guys.
Yeah.
How do you think Dozel is in bed?
Bad.
I think he's amazing. I think he's a consummate, an attentive lover.
I don't know if he's attentive.
He's very passionate, but he doesn't do it right.
He's very passionate and very loud, I would imagine.
I think he's like a force of nature.
Well, I think it's like anything. You have to get him worked up on the subject at hand. And then he'll be very focused.
He needs very precise instructions or he will not.
I think it's like having sex with a gorilla.
You think that's good?
Oh, Xena seems happy with it.
Or at least does she?
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, a lot I'm not getting a read on this. Yeah, she doesn't seem. She seems more concerned for the kid than she does herself or Dozel.
Most of this movie, she's just bewildered.
Yeah. Dozel also still needs his approach still needs some work. They're married and have a child, and he's still like, "Will you father more of my children?" It's like, I think it's established already that that's...
He needs to talk to Degwin about, you know, how to talk to women.
Yeah. I guess Degwin never got to that part in teaching and raising his kids.
Very early on Dozel.
Yeah. Who's like, the oldest?
Like,
is that...
Girin. Followed by Kaecilia, okay. Then Dozel. I think Degwin just had a moment like when Abe Simpson sees baby Homer in the little hospital bed eating a slice of pizza, and he's just like, "Where did he get that?" And the nurse just shrugs.
But it's him. It's him like reading like a war manual.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Dozel's having a crisis of conscience, but he makes up for it. He wakes up his child on two separate occasions.
This poor baby.
He's like, "Am I a bad guy for committing the worst atrocity in human history?"
She's like, "No, of course not." She actually doesn't comment on that part. She only talks about the daughter.
Yeah, well, I think it's a bad idea to lie to Dozel's face.
Yeah. So then we get to our real main character of this movie, Selah Mass.
Yes.
Formerly Artasia.
I can't believe what I asked for actually happened.
What, more Artasia?
Yeah, I was like, she needs to come back. She needs to do some action. And they're like, okay, here you go.
She's like, not only did she come back, she did do some action.
So yeah, this movie once again predicted the 2020 riots. People are just killing each other in the streets. There's fash and anti-fash.
Yeah, they're going at it. Selah Mass is here working in the hospital. She gets,
which it's over.
Is this person she talks to from the original series?
This is the guy, that's the guy that was working for Rambo Rowell in the first one. I think he hangs out with Rambo Rowell in the series.
You saw that and you thought 2020?
Oh, of course, it's a reference to the 1930s, but I'm just bringing that back as a running joke.
Yeah, yeah, oh, I mean, okay. We're 10 years away from the new 30s, so, you know,
yes,
well, 9, I guess, now.
What you think about?
Well, that's going to be a really good decade, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yes. If history repeats itself, it'll be a great decade for us all.
He just looks different because he's wearing a trench coat and a hat.
Yeah, yeah, he looks like he's looking like Deep Throat in this one.
He's looking like Q from Street Fighter.
Oh, okay. Not QAnon.
No, maybe they're the same person.
Oh. Indictments are coming. Char Aznable will be tried.
Maybe that's why he needs people on 4chan to give out the messages, because he can only communicate in grunts.
So he approaches Selah Mass and is like, "Listen, there's a pilot that you might have heard of. His name is Char Aznable." And she's like, "Huh?"
"Also, your brother's not dead."
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right,
that's just my opinion, though, but it's probably the correct opinion.
I gotta go because I don't want to be torn apart by the mob.
Farewell. And she's just like, "What?" As a crisis of conscience, then she realizes that she has to go deal with the many patients that she has to...
Like 2020, the hospitals are overflowing.
Or she doesn't even get to go back to work. She gets informed that Tia Bolo is dying.
Yeah.
By Mr. Aznable.
Yeah. Poor Mr. Aznable.
Poor the Aznable family in this. There's a scene here, kind of a heartbreaking one, with Selah and Mr. Aznable, where he's like, "Yes, I've never received any letters from my son, but he's still my son." Their plan is to go to where he is. Where are they going?
I think they're going to Zeon. It doesn't matter because they don't get there.
Yeah, they die. They die while they're weeping about their son
and
in the shuttle,
killed by a man who took their son's life. anime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess that is the implication, right?
Yeah,
is that Char blew it up.
Looms, yeah, docking bay gets blown up. Then it cuts to Char floating in front of the explosion with a bazooka. Yeah. And he's like, I hope Sayla's all right. If there's a god, he won't be on this call me. And then he sees Texas floating right next to it.
Yeah. He wiped out the whole family there. Real family annihilator.
Exterminate the bloodline.
I mean, listen, I've heard about what happens in Gundam. So let's just say it's his first, but not his last. Sayla, meanwhile, has to protect her home from these
from the warriors.
Pretty much.
The street
people.
No,
these guys aren't the warriors. These are like that gang who's like baseball themed.
Yeah. They're like the guys Kintrill kills in like the first 20 episodes. Fist in the Register.
All of these people come out from the woods who are being who were left the city after it got set on fire.
Yeah,
so she shelters them in her house.
Seeking political asylum.
Yeah. She shelters them in her house, and then when all of these people come by to try and kill them, she gets some guns and just starts like slaughtering them.
She has the kill switch just kind of flips in her head at that moment.
Oh yeah, she has like a moment like Char where she just goes, and you see the berserker switch turn on.
Yeah, it's almost like they have similar abilities
to murder people without regret.
Well,
ability some would call unnatural.
Yeah, some sort of new abilities.
Yeah, this is brutal. Man literally gets set on fire when she shoots him.
That kicked ass.
A Molotov cocktail. Yeah.
That was like, I think that's probably the best moment of the episode or the movie for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, there are other people helping her, but she gets all the good kills in this.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Tim Tebow has a heart attack and dies.
Yeah, there's this bit where they're like boarding up the entries and they're moving him around and he is freaking out.
Oh,
which
yeah, they're
makes
using
sense.
The furniture.
And yeah, this all of this sudden excitement was too much for him. He passes.
Yeah, poor Sayla.
Yeah, what a terrible time. And then to make matters worse, Char, not even thinking about it, lands on the Texas.
Oh,
on the
I
Texas
think that's
colony.
Why he did it.
What, because of his connection with Sayla?
Yeah, I thought Sayla might be there. You know,
and, I mean,
he can't
he's
see
right.
shit.
Yeah, he can't see her, but she sees him.
Yeah.
And she runs to where he is, even though she can't get there, and he flies away, not thinking anything about it. And that's all we get of Sayla in this.
Once again. Just constantly shat upon by life.
Yeah. I'm sure things will get better in Gundam. So there's a whole
a
bit
lot of good
here.
Things are going to happen in Gundam, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, Gundam, you know, it's going to be all good things for these people. Especially Char. A lot of good things are going to happen to him.
He's going to get true happiness out of there.
I think Kieran's going to be all right after this.
So Char goes, and he's planning on rendezvousing with the rest of his forces at the actual Clash of Loom.
Yes, they blew up that, they bombed that docking bay to divert Federation forces. There's a very convoluted battle plan going on here.
I mean, a smart battle plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they divert forces. Daeguin and Garma are watching this, and Garma is not having a great time.
Oh,
poor Garma. Garma
is
like
just he's just an observer who's panicked the whole time. He has no input on the actual battle plan. He's just yelling at people because he's scared.
Yeah, and like Garma's like, oh, I should have asked to be part of the mobile suit forces. And Daeguin's like, there are some. You must remember this. There are some for whom death is not permitted.
Yeah.
And I mean that's a brutal line. And Garma's like freaking out, and at one point Daeguin is just like, calm down, it's unbecoming.
Quit acting a fool.
Yeah, Daeguin essentially,
you're embarrassing yourself,
pretty much is what he comes down to, because Garma's like yelling at people who have no control over the situation.
Yeah, that's what the dub said. That's what translation was on the dub. You're embarrassing yourself.
Oh, dang. I mean, yeah, he was. That's all we give Garma as well. That's the last bit we get of him.
For now.
Meanwhile, the Black TriStars really don't want anything to do with Char at the current moment. They have a whole like rousing speech that they're giving where they're like, "Oh yeah, and if you see that red guy, don't let him get any murders."
Yeah, he's too much of a go-getter.
We can't be having him getting any good kills.
Oh yeah, this is the scene where they get pissed off at him because he's not wearing a spacesuit. And Char's just like, "Well, if my suit gets shot, I'll die either way."
That's I mean, pretty fair. Uh-huh. I think they literally call him the weirdo in red.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, he's both.
He is a kind of nasty weirdo, isn't he?
Yeah, Char is what I call a sick freak.
He's what I call a Jake Gyllenhaal. A Nightcrawler.
That would be good live action casting for Char.
Yes.
Who would be Amuro though?
I'm thinking that Michael Cera
in his prime.
Michael Cera. How?
Yeah, that fits.
I guess it would have to be Tom Holland now, since Michael Cera is too old and busted.
I mean, if you want to just redo, if you want to do like Char's counterattack, then you get Michael Cera.
Oh, you want to skip to that?
Yeah.
Let's skip over like 100 episodes of story.
Well, all right. So you do Tom Holland and Jake Gyllenhaal. The age difference is way bigger in that.
Well, I guess you just have to get a new actor to play Char then.
Yeah. I guess if you were doing this like 10 years ago, you could do Jake Gyllenhaal.
If you were doing Char's counterattack, you'd want Anthony Starr as Char.
Oh.
He wouldn't be making a great one. Or that guy from The Guest.
I lost track of all these names.
And Homelander.
Who? Oh, okay. You could have said that.
Well, that's not his name. His name's not Boys. Homelander, Kiara. Right?
You could have said Homelander's actor, so I would understand what you're talking about.
I'm sorry.
And then you can get Carl Urban as Rambo Rao.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's actually
imagine him with a big mustache.
That's actually spot on casting.
Yes,
that's the Butcher, Kiara.
And you can have Daniel Day-Lewis. That's Abraham Lincoln play Revel.
Okay.
Yeah, that's spot on casting right there. Listen, Funimation, Hollywood. Or not Funimation, Bandai.
No, it's Lionsgate who's doing the Gundam movie.
Are they actually making a Gundam movie?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
I guess the one good thing is that, the Gundam characters all have, Japanese attempts at Americanized names, so.
Yeah.
Well, most of
them. So, is it... In this film, is anybody who Sayla knew, except for Char, alive?
At the end? No.
Her co-workers at the hospital.
Well, some of them probably died.
Ooh.
Ramba's still alive.
Yes. For now.
Oh, yeah.
She knows him. Although, she doesn't seem to have any very many fond memories of him.
No.
Yeah.
He was just that guy who was kind of there.
Yeah,
and Char really doesn't seem to care about him either. Well, they don't. They only meet like once.
Do they meet at all in the original series?
So that's spoilers.
Okay. So
yeah, they're hanging out, Swanson. They're hanging out.
They're at that bar. So similar to the Yuki scene, there is a bit of filler. Where at the Ramba is at the bar after being demoted.
This is up its own ass.
Yeah. He's at the bar hanging out with Hammond.
Hammond. Whatever. Yes.
The same deep throat guy from who talked to Sayla comes back and is like, "Hey, what's going on? I'm here to inform you that some people from Kaecilia's agency are going to come and try and take Ramba." And then they just don't after Hammond yells at them.
Yes. Well, they work for Kaecilia, so they're probably used to being dominated by powerful women.
That's fair, yeah. Hammond just yells at them and is like, he was following, his orders came from Dozel, And last I checked, you don't work for Dozel. And they're like, I guess this is fair. All right, thank you.
If only Caecilia had paid us to buy guns, perhaps this would be different.
We came to talk to this guy who's a known fighter with no weaponry. And yeah, that's then she angrily plays the piano, and we get the song of the movie.
The song of the movie.
The theme song.
Isn't
that what's playing?
I don't know. I would think that the music playing over the credits is a theme song.
Well, maybe.
I think that's a bigger deal, I think. Credit music.
Yeah, I guess.
She has a music number for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I looked away.
I mean, props to the character animators for doing that, but come on. We could have gotten more of the battle.
Yeah, something. I mean, the battle is fun for what we get, but like, you could have given me 5 more minutes of that.
Oh yeah, it's great. You get to see all the pieces being set up. How they split up the forces of the Federation into like 3 distinct groups.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Also, the guy who makes the call to split up the forces, that's Revel, right?
Yeah, Revel's like, yeah, we should probably help those guys who are experiencing a massive humanitarian disaster.
Yeah, he gets informed of this while he's like eating a polite lunch with some co-workers.
And even after doing that, they still have like a 3-to-1 advantage.
Yeah. And that, of course, they're not counting for one man.
Char! Yeah.
Yeah, they don't realize that Char is in fact in town and he's ready.
Char's in town and he's looking the party.
Yes.
Yeah, so we see what Char's Zaku is capable of
with
the limiters off.
Yes. Oh, this is great.
Yeah,
this is worth the price of admission alone.
He is literally zooming.
He flips all the switches and engages the thruster, and his head slams against the back of the cockpit.
Yeah. He manages to, like, in like 0 seconds flat, he is in the middle of the forces.
Yeah.
There's a bit here where he's like, This is the course of history that I'm about to change. And then credits.
No, it's like, bow before me, God.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
How did you forget that?
Well, I had it written down, but I forgot to say it, yeah.
Which is a great great line to end your movie on, but fuck that cliffhanger. Come on, just make the movie 2 hours long.
Yeah, like, I get what they're going for, right? Because this is the battle we saw at the beginning of the first movie.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not really so much a cliffhanger, because we know how this goes. They showed us.
Yeah, it's just that, like, just show me it. Show me it again. I don't care. Just put it in there. You're not making an art house film. Give me a fucking ending.
Just give me 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's in the title of the film, for Pete's sakes.
But no, it ends right there, and we're left to our imaginations, or going back and watching the first movie.
The first 7 minutes.
Yeah. So that's the end of that. It was kind of all over the place in this one, huh?
Yes. Almost like they should have just stopped at 4. But I'm sure 6 will make up for it.
Yeah, I mean, probably, right?
Yeah, honestly, if they hadn't told us that they were stopping at 4, I wouldn't have assumed it. They were. This was a pretty natural continuation of the previous story.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it would be kind of an arbitrary cutoff point to end there.
It is hard for me to sort of think of what I would how I would feel about this movie if I didn't know that they were planning on ending with 4 originally. Because I still feel like
pretty major events are covered in this.
Oh yeah, but
yeah.
Still,
I do feel like
mad.
They're stretching a lot of it out, though.
Yeah.
There was no reason this couldn't have been the same length as all the other films.
You gotta have that piano number. And you gotta have her.
Like, we didn't really... I understand what they were going for, I guess, in terms of showing the horrors of what is about to happen. But we did not need anything with that Yuki guy.
Oh, we didn't need anything with Amuro.
We also... That doesn't establish anything, right?
I mean, we're...
other than introduce Kai?
I mean, there's a follow-up in the next one, which I watched earlier this morning because I got pissed off at the cliffhanger. Rewatched.
Interesting.
But yeah, this is supposed to be about Char and Sayla, so you could just cut the Amuro stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have cut Amuro for sure. Although I didn't mind the Yuki thing.
It was kinda, that's like important, I think.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's like it actually it put a human face on the atrocity that happened too.
I guess that's fair. It's just more of like a if you really weren't going on 90 minutes for this, then it's probably superfluous. I mean, or you could just cut out whatever happened with the scene with Dozel and his family. That's probably actually more superfluous.
I feel like that actually makes Dozel look like a worse person, honestly.
I know that he actually has feelings, but he's just going to push them down to go commit more atrocities.
Yes!
Yeah. Yeah, because he's there during this battle.
Like, he couldn't just feel guilty like a normal person. He's got to do all these labyrinthine maneuvers. Yeah. Like, going to his wife.
I have to assume the whole point was to be like, see, unlike Jiren, Dozel has feelings.
But doesn't know what to
do
with
them. He has feelings, and then he's just going to quickly rationalize them and...
Yes.
And just make
a totally irrelevant plan for his life. He's like, well, I may have committed one of the worst war crimes in human history, but I can make a new family.
Yeah, Dozel's like Poli Walnuts.
I would say he's more like Silvio, but alright.
No, Kieran's like Silvio. I guess Caecilia would be Tony Soprano.
Uh-oh.
Garen is a nasty man.
Yeah, maybe.
And like nasty in a bad way.
So he's like Philly Leotardo?
Good way. Who?
Philly Leotardo.
Is that a Sopranos character?
Yes,
listen to his name, Kieran.
Steve Buscemi.
Is that a Sopranos character?
Who gets mad at Steve Buscemi and wants him dead.
Yes, just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that. Exactly
in a lot of
like
ways,
him.
In a lot of ways, he does want people dead. Similar to Philly Leotardo. So yeah, they. What are our final thoughts here on this Gundam, Gundam the Origin movie 5?
It
was good.
That cliffhanger ruined it for me.
Yeah, I was really.
I don't understand
out
how
that
could...
cliffhanger.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Come on, just show us the battle. It's in the title of the film. You say Clash and Loom, and then you don't. You show hardly any of the Clash.
I do like it. I like the movie in general. It was good. I just think it's a step down from the last four.
Yeah,
it's a bit. It's less focused for sure. Yes. But
Char's hardly in this one.
It feels like a series of vignettes that make up like are supposed to don't have like a whole message.
Yeah,
that's kind of what war is, though. War doesn't really have a message.
Oh. Dang. Are we talking to Tomino right now?
Yeah. No, Kyo isn't misogynistic enough.
Yeah, true.
Wow.
Yet.
Kyo would never kill off a female character.
No, women must stay alive.
Kyo hates
my stories.
When women die.
Yeah.
And I get really upset. I'm like, why? Why couldn't the three male characters have died in her place?
Yeah.
He has no sexual utility for me.
This was a good movie overall. It just wasn't. It was a bit too scattershot for my liking.
Yes, agreed.
Tune out. No, I'm still tuning in on this. I would recommend it if you've watched all of the other ones. If you're a Gundam fan.
Costa,
yeah, exactly. But also, if you're a Gundam fan, I mean. Obviously.
I don't think it's sunk cost fallacy at all. I think it's a pretty compelling story all right. Altogether.
Okay, that's a tune in for me.
Yeah.
If you're not just fixated on seeing Char.
I mean, listen, I am mad that they had this entire movie and they couldn't show me one on-screen Char action scene.
Yes. Oh, we do get to see him killing that ship on the moon again.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's in the recap.
That's pretty neat.
Doesn't count. We made it.
And then there is also that shot of Itzaku's thrusters breaking. And he's like, I'm still in this fight.
Yeah.
And then there's no follow-up to that whatsoever.
Nope. No, yeah, it's good though. I'm glad Sayla was there to kick some ass and take some names.
And lives.
Yes, many. Yeah, so we'll have to see how it all wraps up, based off of what Stairmaster has told us. It doesn't go great.
We'll see.
But we'll see. Yeah, so that's it for this week's episode. Listen, we talked about it on a previous episode, I think, about what our... this is a Buy Me a Coffee episode, obviously. We haven't really talked about that yet. Basically, this is a bonus episode that our friend Puh Pfeiffer bought for us on Buy Me a Coffee. What you do, if you want to get a bonus episode for us to watch something of, that you're interested in, talk about a topic of your choice, you can go over to buymeacoffee.com/TVTuners, and a single coffee gets you a single thing for us to discuss. Puff Pfeiffer bought us 7 coffees and then made us watch this 6-episode OVA. So he has locked in officially what the 7th of those coffees is. Next bonus episode, we will be finishing up Gundam the Origin, but let me just tell you right here, we're not going to be done with Gundam. No, because when we're done with Gundam the Origin, we are skipping over all of the other story and heading straight for the end of the Char saga. We're going to be watching Char's Counterattack.
The greatest film ever made.
Yes.
I think I'm going to opt out of this because I might actually watch the actual series. I don't think I want to watch that.
Understandable.
Right now.
Have a nice day.
I don't think you can opt out of it, Keel. You got paid.
It'll just be me talking for an hour.
It can be Stare alone on the podcast, just like talking to himself. Maybe you have like a video essay about why it's so good.
I'll just bring on two
I
friends.
Mean, listen, I'm planning on watching Gundam at some point, too.
Well, I don't want to watch the ending.
We have
2
weeks.
Now.
Good luck.
Oh, boy. Best of wishes.
Yeah, watch it at like 10 times speed.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, maybe we'll just hold off on Char's Counterattack for like a month or so and catch up with some other stuff.
Yeah. We got Gilmore Girls coming up. We got Man in the
Woods. Someone wants us to watch some Mouse Show.
Is that Gilmore Girls?
No, it's a thing called Redwall, I think. Right, Kieran?
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. I don't know why.
This is the first I've heard.
Frogus wants us to watch. Yeah, Frogus bought us a coffee
to get us to watch. This animated mouse program.
This isn't that.
Is it?
It's not based off the graphic novels.
Not the Mouse Guard ones. No, it's it's based off of a series of books about mice doing mice things.
Okay, not the Holocaust thing.
Oh no, not mouse. No. But yeah, well, regardless of what our future schedule might look like, for now, we are going to be returning to Gundam next week for our wrap-up of this miniseries. So until then, keep piloting! Bye.
It's over.
Gotta try harder!
Hey folks, it's time for the Gundam fact of the week. Did you know that Stairmaster tried to tell Gear not to do it, but he was not listened to?
Yeah.